whatever mechanism you have, whatever tablet you have, or maybe even if you have the old standard paperback Bible, take that archaic thing out too, and let's just dive into the Word of God. You know, this is, we're here to praise Him, we're here to learn about Him, we're here to grow in Him. That's why we're here. It's wonderful to have fellowship, it's wonderful to be together, and I'm so glad we're together again, and we're connecting in many ways, but let's connect with the Lord today. Our Torah portion is varied. It's got a lot of stuff. And the next three Torah portions that we're in the book of Deuteronomy and Devarim, we're in the last book of the Torah, these next three portions, Re'eh and the next two after them, they contain the majority of the commandments found in the book. And remember, the book, Deuteronomy, is a repetition of the commandments. So basically, the commandments are all essentially repeated. A couple of exceptions here and there, focusing the commandments on when they go into Israel and start living their lives. But the point being, the majority of the commandments are going to be found in the next few Torah portions. So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of details. There's a lot of things to do, regulations, decrees, laws, instructions. But in this Torah portion today, God gives us a special little summary. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 12. He gives us one of these little formulas to follow. And it's easy to get caught up in all the minutiae. It's easy to get caught up in the details of life. And it's easy to get caught up in all the details of the Lord. But when we break it all down, that's when we can really dig in. And sometimes we just have to say, there's just too much. I've got to simplify. I've got to drill it back down to the basics. And I feel like God does that for us today. He gives us this formula. We'll call it the formula for success. But to me, it's one of those formulas in the Bible. So simple that you can follow. And if you follow the formula, if you stick to the formula for your life, in your life, good things will happen. The Lord will bless you. You'll be able to have a relationship with God, a special bond with God. So it's a simple formula. I love simple things. I love to break things down. The formula is, and this is our text today, Deuteronomy 12:2-7. So just mark that down. We're going to be digging in, going through verse by verse, Deuteronomy 12:2-7. I'm going to give you the punchline first, then we're going to go into it, because, you know, who wants to wait till the end, right, to find out what's going on? You always want to read the end of the book first. The formula is this. It's a simple three-step formula. If you follow the formula, you got the success, right? Number one, step one, tear down the idols. Sounds real simple, right? We'll talk about that. Number two, seek the Lord in His ways. And number three, worship and love God in everything you do. If you follow that formula, if Israel followed that formula as they were about to go into the land, because remember, they're right on the threshold of finally going into the promised land after 400 years in Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness. If Israel were to follow that simple formula and stick to it, boy, would the blessings flow in the land. Boy, would the Lord just come and almost like walking with them in the cool of the day, like He was walking with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. It was so simple. It was all right there. Just follow the simple formula. But there was a problem. Of course, there was always a problem. This is the suspense part of the formula. Israel didn't live up to their part of the bargain. Israel didn't live up to their part of the simple contract with God. They didn't follow the formula. What happened? The nature of man, the fallen sin nature, as I like to call it, the fallen sin nature crept in. The propensity to sin, the propensity to do it our way, Israel's way, not God's way, anything but God's way. And it crept in, and Israel fell short of the standard. Israel could not complete the formula. They couldn't just do those easy three steps, right? And the same could be said for us. We're going through life. We're trying to do things the right way. We're trying to be good people. You know, our people, the Jewish people, we want to be good people all the time. We want to be so philanthropic. We want to be caring and loving. And we truly are as a people. But we fall short, just like the rest of humanity. We fall short. And try as we might to follow the formula, we can't. There's only one person who can get us back on track. There's only one person that can bring us back, circle us back around so we can complete the steps of the formula and have the relationship with the Lord that He wants us to have. And that person is, of course, Yeshua. That person, the one person, He can get us back on track. He can help us to follow the formula. Only through him and his death is sin defeated. Only through him and his death are we reconciled to the God of Israel. And only through Yeshua and his death can we truly fulfill the formula for our lives. Because this formula works for us today, just as it worked for Israel, or would work for Israel back then. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 12. Let's kind of dig in, go through what was going on with Israel, what's going on as they're about to go into the land. We'll start with Deuteronomy 12, 2 through 4. This is what God says through Moses. You shall surely destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess served their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, you shall tear down the altars and dash into pieces their pillars and to burn their asherim with fire. You shall chop down the carved images of their gods and destroy their name out of that place. Verse 4, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. Israel was told to surely destroy. That's what my translation says. I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. Yours might say it, and you have a different translation. I don't know. Mine says, surely destroy all those idols, all those high places, all those things, facilitation of worshiping idols that the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the other pagan peoples had when they were occupying the land. Now, I like to check translations every once in a while. If you look at the King James translation, it's just as another example, instead of saying surely destroy, the King James says utterly destroy. In Hebrew, if you go back to the original Hebrew, the phrase says abed te abun. And it's actually the same root word said twice. It's actually the same word repeated, just a different, you know, it's the same root word, but it's repeated twice. And the Jewish sages say, when this is repeated twice, right here in Deuteronomy 12, it's to stress to Israel that the idols must be absolutely, completely, totally destroyed. Even Rashi, the great Jewish sage, says, even the roots of the trees have got to be uprooted. You know how when you tear down a tree, and I know this because in my house, I've just been tearing down trees. I got a chainsaw. I was feeling like a real man for about 5 minutes. And then, I mean, I got it. I got the tree out, but the root was like huge. I'm like, how am I going to get this? I had to call a company to rip out the stump, the roots of the tree. Because you know, with trees, depending on what type of tree it is, the roots can just really get in there. The roots can really take form. They can really take hold. But what it says, basically, the intent is rip out the roots. Take it all out. Not just the part you can see. Remove it all. That's what the verse is intending to mean here. This is what Adonai wants us to know. He knew that if Israel didn't completely remove the idols, completely remove the stumps, completely remove the roots and the high places, that they would eventually fall into sin. That they would eventually worship the other gods, the things of the land that were all there. And that's exactly what happened. If we read the history of Israel, that's exactly what happened over and over. Exodus 20. Turn with me at Exodus 20. You know, there's a couple of places in the Torah where God gives us the really condensed formula and summary of the entire Torah. It's called the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 3 and verse 4, you shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or is in the earth below or that is in the water under the earth. So the text basically says, in short, don't worship other gods and get rid of all of that in your life. Yet the people did worship other gods. They didn't remove the roots. They didn't remove all of the high places. They didn't remove the idols from the land. Even King Solomon, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, even great King Solomon. Now Solomon, you know, you can always say, well, I'm kind of smart, but there's always somebody smarter than me, right? And the Bible tells us that Solomon was really smart. I don't know if there was another person that could have said, oh, I'm smarter than Solomon. And with all of Solomon's intellect, with all of the blessings that God gave him, with all of the ways that he followed the Lord from a young age, he even fell into this trap of worshiping other gods and worshiping at the high places. 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. Right? He loved the Lord. Many of us love the Lord. Many of the body of Messiah loves the Lord, but we're still sacrificing at the high places. We're still not ripping out the roots. We're still not purging all of those idols from our lives. The problem was when Israel would take worshiping the Lord, which is what they did, they worshiped God, with worshiping the other things or worshiping in the way of the other gods, they were blending the things of the Lord with the things of the world or the pagan things. And this blending is called syncretism. And it was very prevalent back then. And guess what? It's still prevalent today. And a great example of the last 2,000 years of syncretism is the Holy Roman Empire. If you think about the Catholic Church and what it came up from, the roots of it all, was the Holy Roman Empire, taking a pagan empire, taking the things of the Lord, and this guy named Constantine just decided, let's fuse them together. That'll work. Best of both worlds. Certainly wasn't. Israel in their history, let's put them together. Best of both worlds. Nope. Didn't work out right. They fell into sin. And the first point I want to make today, you can see it on the screen. The first point in the formula is we need to tear down the idols in our lives. Now, of course, you're going to say to me, but Rabbi, I don't worship idols. I don't have little wooden gods in my house. And I always tell my story that, we live in basically a Christian type nation, Judeo-Christian nation. I had a friend growing up. Is that one friend I had who was Buddhist. And we went over to his house and, saw the little gods. And sometimes when you go into the, an Asian restaurant or something, you see the Buddha or you see the gods. Okay, I get it. Don't worship that. But there are other unseen gods or things that we seem to worship and we follow after and we blend with the things of the Lord. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all do it, unfortunately. But we need to tear down those idols in our lives, God says. We can't let anything compete with God for our worship. So what are the things that we potentially have that we're blending or that we're worshiping or that we're putting on a pedestal? Well, things like money, fame, power, work. I mean, how many of you, don't raise your hand, may be on the workaholic side of life, That you're kind of like shifting over on that side. I know a lot of people in this world seek after that fame, that money, that work all the time. What about putting your spouse or your kids on a pedestal? What about putting your pride on a pedestal? Oh, I don't do that. Well, there's this little thing called self that is so immersed in us. We got to rip out that root of self almost on a daily basis because it gets in there and all of a sudden we're blending the things of God with the things of this world. We're blending the things of God with us. I showed my wife something yesterday. In the Christian world, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christian or believers, and there's one prominent believer, so they say, and I'm not going to mention names, but writes books and all this stuff, and one of the little taglines in Instagram, what are the two big things God says to us in the Bible, in the Torah, and the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord and love people, right? Well, the tagline was, love yourself and love people. You see how that is a blending of the things of the Lord, but the things of the world, the things of the self? We're not supposed to love ourselves. We're supposed to love the Lord. We're supposed to deny ourselves is what the Bible says. That's kind of, garbage. But we've got to purge out the things of the world and put in the things of God. We've got to take out the idols, even ourselves that can become idols in our lives. We need to stop thinking as the world thinks. We maybe have the beliefs of what's written in the Bible, but maybe we kind of think like the world thinks today, or we have the same sympathies as the world, or the same sentiments as the world. Romans 12:2, I'm not going to turn there for time, but Romans 12:2 tells us, and I quote it a lot, don't conform to the ways of the thinking of the world. We've got to think on the things of God. think on and believe on the things of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and 7. Go with me there. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, God's talking about Rav Shaul, God through the Apostle Paul, is talking about Israel and how they were an example to us. Okay? They're an example, of course, just like any example in life, of things you should do and things you should not do. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 7, now these things took place, the things of Israel and the wilderness and going into the land, these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The scripture is instructional for us. And this admonition for Israel is just as much an admonition for you and I today. Let's purge out the idols. Let's put God first. That's step one of the formula. Now turn back with me to Deuteronomy 12. Let's keep going. That's the first step. We got to keep doing that though. Got to always go back to step one. Sometimes on an hourly basis, sometimes on a daily basis or a weekly basis in our lives. Deuteronomy 12, 5 and 6. But you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go. Verse 6, and there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your contribution that you present, your vow offerings and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. Now, God is, of course, instructing Israel about what to do when they get into the land. You're going to go in there. You're going to take out all the idols. You're going to rip out, remove all the high places. And these verses are literally referring to going and setting up a central place to worship the Lord. And that central place, after a few years of being in the land, really was getting the tabernacle set up at a place called Shiloh, which was a town in Israel. And later on, of course, it meant the temple in Jerusalem, that central place that God wanted. Now, that's what the physical says. But in the spiritual sense, God wanted Israel to seek him out. Go to where God is. Don't just let, you know, have the Lord come to you and blend all these things like we talked about. Go to where God is. Go seek him out. Go seek his ways. And don't do things like the ways of the people around you. Be different. Be set apart. Be kadosh. Be holy, right? The word tells us all the time, be holy. Israel was to be holy. We're to be holy as people of God. That means don't be like the people around us. That means go to where God says to go. That means seek out the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord doesn't mean what we think of in our American mindset today, which is, oh, I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then God's going to come to me and give me everything I want, and everything's going to be great, and, you know, no, you got to get up. You got to get up spiritually, and you got to go seek after him. You can't stay where you are. You got to go move. You got to go move towards the Lord. Seek him and his ways while he may be found, and that's point number two. Seek the Lord and his ways. Don't seek the ways of the pagans around you. Don't seek the ways of the idols. Over and over, the Bible instructs us to seek after the Lord. There's so many verses. I'm not even going to go into many more. But there's so many ways in the world, and there's so many paths in the world that we can go down. And it's only gotten crazier and worse in the last few years with, and I say this a lot, but the 24-hour news cycle. If I don't like this news program, I can go here and get this 24-hour news program. If I don't like that, I can go into the internet. The internet is a great tool, but it just has opened up a lot of these other pathways. Unfortunately, a lot of bad pathways. So many other roads. It used to be go down door number one, two, or three, right? Now it's go down infinity-type doors. And you want this particular customized door? Oh, I'll just go in here. You can always find a group on Facebook or Instagram or wherever to go down that door with that group. But we are not to go after the ways of the world. We are supposed to seek after the Lord. And there is only one door to go to the Lord. It's not multiple doors. It's not, oh, I like this one, this flavor of this door. There's one door that points us, and we got to go after it. We got to seek after that door. The problem is Most people don't. And most believers don't. They just sit back and wait for God to come to them. But if we turn to Psalm 14:2, we get a little bit of a slap, right? We get a little bit of a slap and we get a little bit of a conviction, because Psalm 14:2 gives it to us straight. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Ouch, right. That's an ouch scripture. This is a very telling scripture, though. God is seeking to see if there's anyone that's willing to seek after him, right? Turn with me now to Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and through 12. Okay, now if that last scripture was convicting, I've got an even more convicting scripture for you. We have to understand that we've got to seek the Lord, but our tendency is to sit back and not seek the Lord. But we've got to be active in our faith. We've got to push forward. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That's pretty convicting. But the formula was so simple. If we would just follow the formula, we wouldn't have these problems. But the problem is we get off track. We go down door number 58, and we don't go down God's door. We don't open up God's door. But God is seeking for us to seek after him. Let us seek him while he may be found. Amen? We've got to seek the Lord. Today is the day to seek the Lord, because there may not be a tomorrow for us. We don't know how many days. Our days are numbered, and only God knows that number of days. So we got this problem. We're trying to get on the formula path. We keep going through the wrong doors. The children of Israel kept going through the wrong doors, and they kept getting diverted off of the path time and again. But this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. We see things going on in the world. We see all the new shiny doors that we can go through. Believe me, there was a ton of doors thousands of years ago. There's been a ton of doors since the problem in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose that tree. Okay, and they couldn't eat from the good tree, the tree of life, because they chose the wrong tree. They made the wrong decision. They sought after the wrong things, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of self, and not the things of God. Even the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? Romans chapter 7, go with me there. Romans 7:15. We're talking about, look, okay, we mess up, but there's got to be at least somebody that follows the formula, right? It's got to be like the Apostle Paul. He did all these great things, all these great missionary journeys. He had all these problems, but he still pressed through. He sought after God. He opened up, you know, people to the Lord. He created and founded and planted all of these ecclesia, all of these congregations. But even he had a problem with following the formula. Romans 7:15, "For I do not understand my own actions." These are his words. "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." So he had similar problem. And he goes on, Romans 7, verses 19 and 20. "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Boy, this sounds familiar now. This sounds like my life. Verse 20. "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Okay, so there is what's going on, really. That fallen nature, that sinful nature. Adonai knew that Israel would sin. He knew that they would choose the idols. He knew that they would seek after their own ways. He knew that we would choose the idols and seek after our own ways. And we are in a world that continues to do that. And this is the news flash, right? In case anybody didn't know this, the world's not going to wake up tomorrow and start following God. So they're going to continue to open up more doors for us to go through. But don't fall for it. There's only one door to go through. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Because of this propensity of you and I to continue to go into other doors, eat from other trees, and seek other high places, God had to send Yeshua to get us back on course. And this is the powerful work that Yeshua does for us. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by and with his wounds, we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, his own door. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So by Yeshua's wounds, we're healed. We, the lost sheep, who are seeking after everything but God. All we had to do was stay in the sheep pen and listen to the shepherd. But what did we do? We were that sheep that wandered off, right? That went after the shiny object. And you know how sheep go after things. You know what happens to sheep? They go, and then they fall off the cliff. Because they don't realize where they are. How many people are in life going through these doors, having sin in their life, idols in their life, and they're about to go off the cliff spiritually and even physically in many ways, unfortunately. But Yeshua snatches us back up, that shepherd, right? He's the good shepherd, brings us back into the sheep pen, gets us back on the track so we can follow the formula and have that relationship with God. And now that we're reconciled to God, go back to Deuteronomy 12 now. Let's finish the formula, okay? Step 2 got us really tripped up if step 1 didn't, right? Now we can get back on the formula and with the formula and do step 3. Step 3, Deuteronomy 12, 7. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your households, in all that you undertake, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Now that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. That sounds like with the relationship with the Lord. It's fellowship. It's relationship. When you eat with somebody, if you read in the Bible where people were asked to come and eat with the king, that was a big honor. When you went to go eat with the king, it meant you had favor. It meant you had access. It meant you had relationship with the king, with the head of that nation, with the head of that country. You had access to the most powerful, to the king of that area. And we have access to go and dine with the king now. Because of what Yeshua has done, because we can get back on track, we can finish that formula, and this is the last part of the formula, to go in and fellowship with the Lord, to go in and dine with the king, to go in and have relationship with God. Our ministry at Kol Mashiach is primarily to see Jewish lost sheep get back into that sheep pen that God has always wanted for our people, only through the Isaiah 53 Savior. And Isaiah 53 doesn't speak about Israel because we just got through saying Israel has a propensity to sin, just like all the human race has had a propensity to sin. So Isaiah 53 is talking about the suffering servant that died for Israel, the suffering servant that dies for all of us even today. This is what God wanted for us. This is what was meant to be. And the last slide, the last point, worship and Lord, love God in everything, in all of your life. Now you can go in and dine with the king, but then don't go running out and dine at the high places. Now you can go in and have a relationship with the king, but don't go out and have a relationship with the world. And I'm not saying go, you know, become a monk in Thailand somewhere. I'm saying, yeah, you got to be in the world because you got to be a light to the world. But stay with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. Have that intimate relationship with God and not with the world. And Colossians 3, last verse today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. So we're talking about loving and worshiping God in everything we do. Everything you do. Everything you are. Now that you have that relationship, there's no other door to go down. There's no other door to go in. You've already gone through the door. It's like, what was that game show with all the doors? Is it The Price is Right? No. What was it? What was the game show? Okay, Price is Right. Thank you. You went through the right door. You got the Lamborghini or whatever the car was. You got the boat, right? There was always a boat. I always thought there was a boat at the other side of the door. Whatever. You got the really wonderful, wonderful thing, which is life with God, relationship with God that he's always wanted with us. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Everything. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So through Yeshua, we get back on track. We get to that last part of the formula, which is where we get to dine with the king. which is where we get the relationship with the king, which is where we have the access to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine that? He stops and wants to eat with you and I. The God that created the world, he knows every heart, he knows every hair in everybody's head. He wants to have a meal with you and I. He wants to have a relationship with you and I. And this formula is guaranteed success to have that relationship with God if we accept the gift of Yeshua, if we recognize that we, in and of ourselves, can't do the formula. That's the whole irony of it all. We can't do it. Israel couldn't follow the formula. They needed a Messiah. We can't follow the formula. I don't care. On your best day, you fall short of the formula. On my best day, I don't even know if I get through step number one. I mean, we need someone to save us. That's why he's called the Savior, right? But he also wants to be our Lord. In everything we do, we are to give him thanks. And we are to recognize that he is our Lord, that he is our Savior, and only through Yeshua can we have that relationship with God and fulfill the formula. Let's pray. Lord God, you know the hearts of men. You know my heart. You know all of our hearts, Lord. You know how we fall short. But boy, we like to deceive ourselves, Lord. We like to say, well, we're doing so great. We love to pat ourselves on the back. I know I do. We love to pat ourselves on the back, but we still fall short. We're never good enough. And you know what? That's okay, because you are good enough. And if we surrender our lives to you, if we renounce our sins in the name of Yeshua and believe in your name, Yeshua, and recognize that you died for our sins, you're the Jacob's ladder. You're the bridge to the Father. Lord, you are the connection. And now we can come in and have a relationship with you, Lord God. I pray for all of our Jewish people in this area that they would recognize that God, that you want to have a relationship with them. And all peoples in this area, Lord God, may we, each and every one of us here today and on the live stream that follow after you, that count ourselves part of your kingdom, Lord, empower us, use us, fill us up so that we could share with other people, Jew and Gentile alike, that there is a way to follow the formula. And the formula of the world never works out. But Lord, your formula always works out. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you. And Lord, I pray that you would get our hearts right. Get our lives on track, Lord God. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know how much time we have in our own lives or how much time we have before you return. But Lord, with whatever second, minute, hour, day, week, year is left, may we do everything for you and your glory. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. You know, as we close today, I just want you to, everybody stand with me. We're going to end the service in just a minute with a special blessing, but I just want to have a special time. If you're feeling like you just went down the wrong door,